You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
And welcome in MLB.com Extras, the Cincinnati Red edition. I'm Dave Raymond with Mark Sheldon. And Mark, let's jump in. The Reds kind of a mixed bag the last week. Take 2-3 against Milwaukee. They split 4 in Atlanta. Not bad overall. The big news, the big development, though, was, I guess, the final decision on Homer Bailey undergoing surgery, going to be lost for the rest of the year. And, you know, look, good year, bad year. I mean, it's really somewhat irrelevant what direction the team is headed at the moment. That will have an impact on this club.
Absolutely. And, of course, they were counting on having a good year. And one of the reasons why they were counting on having a good year is even though they traded two established pitchers away in the rotation and the offseason, they were really counting on a front line three of Johnny Cueto, Mike Leake, and Homer Bailey. And now you've taken Homer Bailey out of the equation, and it's going to hurt them. They really were expecting him to be fully recovered from the surgery he had in September, and that he was coming back strong, and his spring training workouts and throwing programs seemed to indicate there would be no setback. So this was an unexpected surprise, and now they have to figure out how to carry on without him.
What kind of a personality or impact is he in the clubhouse?
You know, he's one of those guys. He's a very smart guy. He's definitely a good teammate. He's not one of those dudes that spends a lot of time hooting and hollering. He kind of keeps to himself at times. He likes to read books. He's always buried in a book. But he's also one of those guys that's always there for his fellow pitchers, and especially the starting rotation. Those guys are a pretty tight-knit group, and he's become a veteran over the years, and he's one of those guys that's also always dependable when he was as he became more veteran, that he could be dependable for 200 innings. He was injured a lot early in his career, and then he kind of seemed to get over that hump, and he's been a pretty dependable guy to have in there, and he's been a mainstay now along with Leake and Cueto. So having him not there is going to be tough for them.
So I guess some heightened expectations or pressure, however you want to put it, on Michael Lorenzen?
I don't know if it's heightened expectations. He can do what he can do, which I know it sounds silly, but he's 23 years old. He's a number four prospect in the organization, and they always kind of knew he would be in the back pocket if they needed to call him up. Would they have preferred perhaps to give him a little more seasoning? Of course, but even in spring training, they liked what they saw. Brian Price kind of gravitated towards him as a possibility towards being a reliever if he could make the team out of camp, or perhaps a starter if something went wrong. And he was in the battle to the end, so they really did like him. And if he's their new fifth starter, I suppose, and if they can, whatever they can get for him, that I think will be a bonus. And it's a good chance for him to learn. He's got some power stuff. He learned after his first start that he's going to have to mix it up a little bit. He's going to have to throw strikes. He's going to have to get out quicker. He threw 107 pitches in only 5 innings in his debut, and that's got to come down a little bit. But I think this is a great opportunity for him to show and to show the club that he's one of the guys they can count on going forward, and especially in maybe what could be a year of transition next year.
Well, overall, the team kind of continuing to tread water. I think we may have used that term before. They're just kind of hanging in what looks like a really competitive division, and even though the Cardinals, you know, are off to this incredible start in St. Louis, they have their own issues to deal with as well. So we'll see. We'll see how it develops. But let's look for a moment at this franchise four. And I don't know how much you've dug into this, but 8 guys on the list, and people can go to Reds.com and jump in and vote for their franchise four. When you look at the names on this list, though, Mark, I mean, it's just it's tough to narrow it to 4.
Yeah, it really is, and especially when you look at the candidates, no matter what happens, very likely 2 Hall of Famers will be left out. Because right now, in the top 4 is Pete Rose, Johnny Bench, Joe Morgan, and Barry Larkin. And then sitting outside looking in at the moment are Frank Robinson, Tony Perez, Dave Concepcion, and Eric Davis. So it's a remarkably thick field, as they say, and in the earlier voting, Barry was on the outside looking in, and Frank Robinson was in. So There's obviously some jockeying going on, and of course, Pete Rose not being a Hall of Famer, but having all the credentials and being one of the most popular players in franchise history right now, this is setting up really good to have quite a moment for him at the All-Star game if he's in fact one of the Final Four.
I remember the last time he was honored at an All-Star game. What name is missing off the list? I mean, you got, 146 years of Reds history and a lot of incredible names and Hall of Famers that have come through Cincinnati. I sympathize with the people who have to put together the list of eight names, because I'm sure you can come up with a couple that should probably have been on this list.
That's a tough one. I mean, I think they did a pretty good job with these eight. I don't think any of them of these eight don't deserve to be on the list. But if I had to rack my brain, of course, especially for these are guys before my time. But I know a lot of Reds fans think highly of Ted Kluszewski. His number's retired by the franchise. Gus Bell is somebody that was highly loved, and Tom Seaver had a very nice Reds era of his career here. He threw a no hitter for the Reds. He would be a possibility. George Foster, another member of the Big Red Machine. So there's certainly some people to choose from, for sure. But I really do think if they had to pick eight of the greatest Reds of all time, I'm really racked to come up with anyone that's missing. As far as the pitching, the Reds have not had a cavalcade of all-time great pitchers in their organization. They've had some very, very good pitchers. And, Mario Soto and Tom Browning are kind of more my generation that I remember. But even going way back, you had Johnny Vandermeer throw two no-hitters, but he wouldn't be considered necessarily a great pitcher of all time. So I think this is a pretty good group of eight right here.
I was just wondering if maybe a Griffey would get on the list, or going back on Ernie Lombardi. But I do think these things favor the modern era guys, or do you think that there's that history seems to shine more in these types of things?
I can't speak for the other teams, but I think in this situation here, and it's pretty typical of what goes on at Cincinnati. I've lived here since 1990 off and on, and even the 1990 Reds, they won the World Series, and they're being honored this year, of course, for the 25th anniversary. But I really do notice that everything always seems to gravitate back to the 70s and the Big Red Machine, and those are the names that seem to come to the surface first and foremost, and for good reason. Obviously, it was an absolutely prolific decade in the team's history, and it should be recognized. But even now, the Big Red Machine is so prominent in a lot of fans' minds. The comparisons to any team that comes up in the current era always seems to draw comparisons to what happened in the 70s. So maybe in other eras, people's memories are a little fresher. I know I saw Derek Jeter's name among the great eight in the Yankee side. He's outside looking in, but Mariano Rivera was in there as well. So I know some places they think more currently, but I think here it's definitely more in the 70s.
And we might see that test played out really for the final spot in this one between, let's say, Frank Robinson and Barry Larkin. If you had to cast that deciding vote, I hate to put you on the spot like that, man. How would you evaluate one against the other? Very different players, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, having never seen Frank play, I know he's a great, great player. But I also know that maybe his even better years, he was a great player when he was with the Reds, and his even better years were going to be with the Orioles. And I know he's in the top four for the Orioles. So in some ways, he'll be already honored in that sense. So maybe give it to Barry. Frank's numbers are certainly better than Barry's in a lot of ways, and especially in the home run category. So it's interesting. I think the Reds fans, again, the generation before me, they look at Frank Robinson with a tear in their eye because he was traded away in probably one of the worst trades in the history of baseball for Milt Pappas. And I think a lot of Reds fans are very bitter to this day, those of that age. So, but I remember when Barry played, and he was a great player and a great leader. He wasn't the typical, statistical guy that racked up the numbers. Even in his MVP year, he didn't have, like, outlandish numbers, especially in an era like the 90s where home runs were becoming more in vogue. But he did a lot of great things on the field. So I guess I'd have a tough time, but I'd probably ultimately go with Robinson straight up. But knowing that Frank is going to get in with the Orioles probably, maybe give it to Barry just to get another name in there.
Yeah, I think we can count on Rose, Morgan, and Bench, though, as those three
pretty much locks for the Cincinnati Reds. All right, Mark. Well, great stuff as always. Always fun. And enjoy the week. And we'll do it again in about 7 days.
Okay.
All right, Mark Sheldon, MLB.com Extras, the Cincinnati Reds edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.